Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, this week we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about the eye, and by that, of course, not the physical eye, but the spiritual eye, that Scripture, throughout the pages of the Word, makes frequent reference to. And we were looking specifically at the Song of Solomon, the 6th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 5 for you. Turn away thine eyes from me, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, for they have overcome me. He is in this beautiful poetic song, and or song, if you will, or poem, is the bridegroom, and he is a king, and some have said this is King Solomon, and he goes to meet a Shulamite girl. He comes in disguise to her family's vineyard, and basically they fall in love, and he makes her his bride. And this is an allegory, if you will. The spiritual significance of it is that it represents the holy love that exists between God and his chosen people, and also the love that exists between the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ, and his beloved bride, who is the church or the body of Christ, consisting of Jew and Gentile, those who have been born again and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so as we read this passage of Scripture, it's really hard to really comprehend that this is the Lord speaking about us, his church, and God's loving heart. The loving heart of Jesus is actually overcome by the love that he has for his bride. And when you think of it, beloved, before time existed, before God created the worlds, before Jesus spoke the worlds into existence, before the heavenly bodies were created, before the angels were created, in the mind and heart of God, he had a plan. He is not just loving, he is love, he is light. And so in his divine providence, he began to create because he desired fellowship. He created the angelic hosts first, and we know from Scripture that a third of them rebelled against God. They sided with Lucifer, who was perfect in beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him, and his heart was lifted up because of pride, and he said, I will be like the Most High. He was cast out of heaven, and then God created a being. He called them Adam, and out of the side of Adam, he created a woman who was named Eve, and they were made in God's very image and likeness. And so God has a special desire to fellowship with man. This is represented in the opening pages of Genesis. We see the Lord God came and talked with them in the cool of the day, and they had all of their needs supplied. He only gave them one commandment, which was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the story outlined in Genesis. They listened to the temptation of the evil one. They fell, and it took the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, to come and restore us to fellowship with the Father. Now this, if you've been a Christian, that's a familiar story of God's heart and what he did. But just think the eons of time that God has waited for the fellowship that he is one day going to enjoy with his beloved bride, with his church. We were created to have eternal fellowship with God. And when Jesus does come back for his bride, comes back for his church, and after the millennial kingdom, his thousand-year reign on this physical earth, then a new heaven and a new earth will be created, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and we shall forever be with the Lord. And just, well, we rejoice at that. We think how wonderful it will be to see Jesus, to be reunited with our loved ones. But think about how God feels. Think about how long he has waited for his love, his perfection of beauty and kindness and benevolence, his loving kindness to be appreciated and loved. And this is, there's nothing that is dearer to the heart of God than his creation, especially beloved mankind, who he loves so much. He sent his only begotten son to go through the horrors, the horrific trial and suffering that he went through, starting with Gethsemane and through the crucifixion and through his death. Only God himself knows the pain that he endured in bearing all of our sicknesses and bearing all of our sin and experiencing separation for a time with the Father. And so just imagine, I've taken this time, I know that if you walk with the Lord, this is all familiar to you, but I want you just to imagine how much the Father and how much Jesus is anticipating that day, that glorious day when he will be crowned King of Kings. I've always imagined a beautiful coronation ceremony. When it will take place, I don't know, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Look how he's looking forward to that time. In fact, one of the very touching points for me, as the Gospels describe the Last Supper, he talks about, this is he takes the bread, he breaks it, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And he speaks of the cup of the new covenant, his blood which is shed. And he makes this comment. I don't know if you've ever noticed. He said, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until I drink it again anew with you in the kingdom. And so, beloved, what a time of rejoicing that will be. How greatly, how much the Lord looks forward to being with us. And so, having shared all that, perhaps we can understand his eyes are so full of love that he's overcome by the fact that we are returning his love. And as he looks upon his church, his heart has been just overcome. He left heaven to be with his bride. He died to redeem her. He delights in his church. She's lovely in his sight. In the fourth verse of that same chapter, chapter 6 of Song of Solomon, he says, you are beautiful, my love, beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, captivating as an army with banners. And his eternal joy is to spring from her. That reference in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Beloved, that's Jesus singing for joy. Can you imagine that you affect the Lord Jesus that way? He's given everything he has to us. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with him. And not only has he been willing to share his inheritance with the saints, he gave himself. His eyes are still overcome by the beauty of his bride. He says, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Now, we may not feel beautiful, but because of Jesus' shed blood, we have his imputed righteousness upon us. And when the Father looks at us, he sees the covering of Jesus. He sees who we were truly meant to be when he created us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, if Jesus is looking at us, we must return his glance. His eyes are full of love. And when we respond to him, when our eyes are upon him, when we look to him in deep repentance, he's overcome. Just think, when you first came to the Lord, how he looked forward to that time when you were a sinner and you asked forgiveness for your sins, or perhaps a backslider and you wanted to be restored to fellowship with him. Whenever we are sorry for sin and unrighteousness in our lives and are willing to not only repent but turn from it and look to him to be freed, well, John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We look to him by faith for salvation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when we do look to him, it pleases him. If we can't please him, if we have faith, that pleases him, beloved. When we look to him in prayer, we can be as tenacious as Jacob was, beloved, when he was in personal trouble, and we can plead his promises, and we can say to the angel of the Lord, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. And of course, when he struggled with the Lord, if you remember the story, his name was changed from Jacob, supplanter, to Israel, to he who has power with God and man. Hallelujah. And when we look for all things to his love alone, beloved, he is the source of our supply, the source of our blessings. When we're in trouble, we can quietly wait upon him. When we, in hope, patiently submit to him, his dealings in our lives, when under severe tests, we can still, nonetheless, firmly believe in his love and in his help. When we can, with full faith and assurance, joyfully expect his answer. Beloved, all of these things I'm sharing, these are expressions of our love, and they deeply touch the heart of our precious Savior. And as we look in rapturous, restful love, as we delight in his relationship, what does it say in Song of Solomon 2 and 4? He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me was love. He's altogether lovely and all mine. And our hearts can just swim with tears, if you will, as we gaze upon him. And when we have that love in our heart, they overcome him. Our heart burns with love to him, and we adore him. And this wins everything from him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I've yet more to share, and if your schedule permits, I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. And if not, you can rehear a broadcast or listen at your convenience at unveilchrist.org website. God bless you. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.